Good morning. Today I'll be reading Hebrews 12, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith, with the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Thank you, Reagan, for reading us the word this morning. I'm glad to see my brain family back in church. They've been quarantining, staggering their quarantines and stuff, so glad to have them back. Glad for Joanna's back. Glad the Bakers are with us this morning. We're dealing with all kinds of stuff, aren't we? But one thing for sure, just keep in mind, we all know that God's in control. We're going to start our December songs with Christmas songs, as we do each year. So feel free to just remain seated, or if you'd like to stand, please stand, and we'll start out with We Three Kings. We three kings of Orient are bearing gifts, we traverse afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, follow yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, sing ever over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, heaven and earth replies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Amen. Ring the bells, ring the bells, let the whole world know, Christ was born in Bethlehem many years ago. Born to die that men might live, came to earth new life to give, born of Mary, born so low, many years ago. God the Father gave his Son, gave his own beloved one, to this wicked sinful earth, to bring mankind his love new birth. Ring the bells, ring the bells, let the whole world know, Christ the Savior lives today, as he did so long ago. Amen. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God born and sinner reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the sky. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, there old angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by eyes heaven adore, Christ the everlasting Lord. Late in time, behold him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Come in flesh, the Godhead see, Emmanuel. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. His glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Amen. Crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby no crying he makes. I love thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and take us forever to live with thee there. Amen. You may be seated. I was looking for a communion med that just kind of ties in with what we've all been going through this last crazy year, and came upon a pretty good one. It's entitled Triumph. It has been 40 years. Only the older folks, like myself, really remember it. It's known as the Miracle on Ice. Sports Illustrated called it the greatest sports moment of the 20th century. Millions of older sports fans remember Al Michaels of ABC in his pronouncement at the end of the game, "Do you believe in miracles?" Yes. The American Olympic hockey team, composed of entirely of amateur players, had defeated the heavily favored Soviet juggernaut full of paid professionals. Triumph. May we ask how one measures triumph in the field of athletics? The greater your opponent, the greater your triumph. The greater the difficulty of your tasks, the greater your triumph. the longer the struggle to achieve victory, the greater your triumph. In this lens of athletic triumph, we may also measure the greatness of the triumph of the cross. How great was the opponent? The cross was the triumph of mercy over the justice of our Lord God Almighty. How difficult was it to achieve? The cross took the life of Jesus, the only sinless man that has ever walked the earth, as an atonement sacrifice for us. How long did it take? It started with God's first contact with Adam and continues through the cross till the day when Christ returns. Essentially, the entire history of mankind. Communion is a memorial to this achievement. It's not a trophy. Trophies get put on shelves and gather dust. It is a memorial of what it took, for we partake of the body and the blood of Christ in memory of the price that he paid. The symbol of the triumph of God is a symbol of sacrifice. It's also a reminder to us that we should go and do likewise. We are to be the merciful on earth, as the Apostle James told us. In James 2:13, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Therefore, before we partake this morning of our communion, it's also a time for us to examine ourselves. See if we are following the example of Christ in giving mercy. If we are, then know that mercy triumphs over judgment, and God will be merciful to us on the day of Christ's return. The merciful need no other lesson. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we, Lord, thank you for another day of life. We thank you for this beautiful morning. Thank you for the sunshine outside. Lord, we thank you for all of those that made it a priority, that is able to be here this morning, came to gather together. Lord, we ask you to be with those that are shut in and not comfortable with coming, and we certainly understand that, Lord, and we ask you to just reach out to them as well. But Lord, we can't thank you enough for the mercy that you have shown us, and we certainly don't deserve. So we just ask you right now, Lord, for all of us to remind us to examine ourselves to see what we can be doing better in the coming week, in the coming months, in the coming years, to show your mercy to others around us. We ask you just now to bless these emblems that we're about to take, Lord, and we just thank you for that sacrifice that you gave us. Christ's precious name we pray. Amen.
outside of Bethlehem. Angels come to shepherds, ordinary working men. Not the high and mighty or the powerful and great, but those who feel unwanted that the world has pushed away. All of Christmas, all you lost and left behind, the lonely and those longing with an emptiness inside, the forgotten and forsaken, I bring you good news. Oh, hear the call of Christmas, the Savior waits for you. Kindness we've been shown. Come behold the King of Kings, find rest you weary souls. Lay down all your burdens, He will mend and make you whole. Hear the call of Christmas, all you lost and left behind, the lonely and those longing with an emptiness inside, the forgotten and forsaken, I bring you good news. Oh, hear the call of Christmas, the Savior waits for you. For all of those in need, come find your hope and peace, and do not be afraid, for He has come to save. He's come to save. Hear the call of Christmas, all you lost and left behind, the lonely and those longing with an emptiness inside, the forgotten and forsaken, I bring. The Savior waits for you. Hear the call of Christmas, all you lost and left behind, the lonely and those longing with an emptiness inside, the forgotten and forsaken, I bring you good news. Oh, hear the call of Christmas, the Savior waits for you. Oh, hear the call of Christmas, the Savior waits for you.
Thank you so much. I looked at my calendar yesterday, and it was hard to believe. We are less than 3 weeks from Christmas today. Unbelievable. And this morning I want to just prepare our hearts and get ready for the celebration that we're about ready to celebrate, really in the weeks to come, leading all the way to Christmas Day and into the new year. We as Christians have such a message of hope in Jesus Christ. We are living in some crazy times, and I say that, but you know, you read what Solomon says in his writings, that there's nothing new under the sun. You know, craziness has been around for a long time. Evil's been around for a long time. Darkness has been around for a long time. And we've been looking forward to the coming of Christ for a long time. But as we get ready to celebrate Christmas, I'd like to prepare our hearts to remind us that Jesus Christ is our message of hope to the world. I like reading the Gospels during the Christmas season, read about the early life of Jesus Christ. But I got to tell you, my favorite Gospel book is the book of Isaiah. You might as well count the book of Isaiah as the fifth Gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything in the Old Testament, from the Garden of Eden all the way to the end of the Old Testament, everything that happens, everything that is said, everything that is prophesied points to Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it's all pointing to the coming Messiah, the coming Savior. It's all pointing to God's love, God's plan, God's will because of the fall of man in Genesis chapter 1. And the book of Isaiah, I just like Isaiah because not only does he point to the coming Messiah, he is given great detail of Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah, the Savior of the world, that is just absolutely incredible. And Isaiah's prophecy is hundreds of years before Jesus comes. There's a big time frame between Isaiah and Jesus' birth. And I love throughout Isaiah his writings of Jesus, the coming Messiah. And today I'd like us to point to Isaiah chapter 60. You'll hear me point to Isaiah probably several times this month as we talk about Christmas. But this morning, Isaiah chapter 60, just the first three verses. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Isaiah is talking about the coming king, the coming Messiah, Jesus, the Son of God, who is going to reign here on earth and reign in heaven forever and ever, seated at the right hand of God. Arise. He's talking to us this morning. He's talking to God's people. Arise. Shine, for your light has come. This is Isaiah's message of hope. This is God's message of hope to his people in a very dark time. Jesus Christ is our hope. And this morning I want us to look forward to the Christmas season, mindful of the truth. There's that word truth again. That word gets thrown out a lot today. And I've said it before, we live in a world that preaches there is no absolute truth. Whatever is truth to you is your truth. Good for you. God tells us, no, there is absolute truth. And that absolute truth is Jesus. Jesus Christ is our hope, and we can count on it. So this morning, I want us to point out a few things. First thing I want to point out is that people need hope during times of darkness. It's no secret that we are living in times of darkness. That hope is in Jesus Christ, and Christ was the hope of the world that sat in darkness for many, many years. There was a big gap between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And Isaiah here is talking about that time. There's going to be a long period of time where God's people are going to be sitting in darkness, sitting in a world of darkness, waiting and wondering. Still don't have the true mysteries of God revealed. Jesus has not yet come to earth and shared with us the will of God, the plan of God, the purposes of God, the character of God. A lot of things of God have not been truly revealed to the people yet. So there's this great time of darkness. Some are starting to waver in their faith. Does that sound familiar? Still happens today. And Isaiah's writing this beautiful message of hope, that Christ was the hope of the world that sat in darkness for many years without hearing the voice of God. There was a long period of time where the earth did not hear the voice of God between the Old Testament and New Testament. And there was a lot of time of wonder. Kind of like when God's people were enslaved in Egypt. A lot of wonder. For hundreds of years, they were waiting for somebody to come and to rescue them out of slavery. And wondering, what's God doing? What's God doing? When is God going to move? Again, we see that today. A lot of God's people wondering, what is God doing? When is he going to do it? When is God going to move? Isaiah and other writers of the Bible remind us all the time that God is always moving. God is never silent. His will be done. And boy, for His people that will just trust Him, who will just follow Him, who will just be quiet and listen to Him, there is a hope and there is a light waiting for them. Question this morning is, are you aware of everything that took place in Israel during those silent years between the Old Testament and New Testament? And the blessings of Isaiah 60 are that the world that sat in darkness without hope, there's a promise here that they will find hope. That hope was to be found in Jesus Christ, the coming Messiah. This is a message that the world needed to hear at that time. This is a message that God's chosen people needed to hear at that time. What's going on? Are we doing something wrong? Are we following the wrong leader? Is our sin causing us to have to wait longer? There's a lot of question here. And boy, does Isaiah have a message. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. He's saying there will be a time. It's coming. It's coming soon. Be patient. God's people have had to wait and wait and wait, sometimes for hundreds of years. We've been waiting for over 2,000 years for Jesus' return here on earth. But it's going to happen. And that gift of hope that we have this Christmas season, as we celebrate the first appearing of God's Son here on earth, and the miraculous things He did, the mysteries of God that He revealed, He showed us what God was all about. He ministered to God's people. He healed the sick. He healed the sick spiritually. He healed those who were sick mentally, emotionally, and showed miraculous wonders to show the world who sent Him. But then He laid His life down. And on the cross, He finished the mission. He accomplished what everything that was written by the prophets in the Old Testament. All that was accomplished on the cross. And this light that Isaiah is talking about, that hope that Isaiah is talking about, was accomplished on the cross when Jesus was on the earth. And then when Jesus came out of the grave and He appeared before His disciples and He appeared before other people, what was His message? A message of hope. I'm going now. I'm going to leave you my spirit. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I have a mission for you. I want you to go tell the world the gospel. Go share the good news with all those you know. I'm leaving. I'm going to sit at the right hand of God. But I will be with you always. And then you have this promise. I'm going to return. I'm going to come back. He left us with hope. I will not leave you forever as orphans. I will not leave you forever. That's not the plan. From the very beginning, that was not God's plan to live separated from us. The plan was always for God to walk side by side with His people, to enjoy His creation without the hindrance of sin, without darkness surrounding, without hurt, without abuse, without pain. People need hope during a time of darkness. They don't need opinions. They don't need scolding. They need hope. They need a message that this is not it. This is not as good as it's going to be. Whatever physical ailment you have, it's going to get better. Whatever relationship problem you have, it will be better. Whatever you don't like about yourself, it's going to get better. Whatever you don't like physically, it will be better. Whatever you don't like in your relationship with God because of things happening on your end, it's going to get better. We will get to experience God in all of His glory forever. This is the message that needs to come out of the church, especially during the time of the Christmas season. It's not always about what we can give. I know this is a time of giving, and I'm not telling anybody to not do that. We're giving baby shower to Heartbeat. We've done things in the community of Fredericktown during their Christmas festivities, and we'll continue to serve our community. But the Christmas message is about what God has done for his people. The gift that God gave to his people, the gift of hope. I shared with the men at men's breakfast yesterday in a devotion. Hope is a gift from God just like grace. It's something that he wanted his children to have. It's not something that we do or we guess. We don't hope that God will keep us, but we know that God will keep his promises because he has been faithful from generation to generation to generation. Why would he not keep his promise of returning and taking us home? But he's given that assurance in the hope of Jesus Christ. And there are people that desperately need to hear that, who are living in dark times. Number two, if you're following along in the outline. Throughout his ministry, Jesus Christ brought hope wherever he traveled. That's what should be pouring out of us. Wherever we go, whoever we encounter. Remember, I've said it over and over again. Our conversation should always lead to Jesus. Throughout Jesus' ministry, it didn't matter who he encountered. He gave hope. He brought hope to the old man at the temple when Jesus was presented at 8 days old. Jesus was 8 days old. His parents brought him to the temple to present him before God. And you have the old man Simeon, who was promised by God that he would see the coming Messiah before he died. Simeon was given that great hope, that God once again has kept his promise. He kept his promise of sending the one and only Messiah to earth. Simeon got to see that. He got to see the hope of Jesus in the future. And he was able to pass from this life to the next, full of God's assurance. Jesus brought hope to the woman at the well. When he was into his ministry, when he was into his 30s, Jesus encountered the woman at the well, a sinner just like you and I. Deeply involved in sin, just like you and I have been. Full of guilt. Full of the world telling her that she had no value. We've all been there, probably. Knocked down. Felt like we were not worthy of God's love. Felt like we were not worthy of other people's love at times. Jesus encounters this woman and gives her hope. Forgives her of her sin. Sends her away with a message of, okay, now go and sin no more. And be a child of mine. And he left her with the promise of hope that there is better things. There is better times. She was living with a man that wasn't her husband. It gets better than that. She was living with guilt. It gets better than that, Jesus said. Your relationships that you're having right now, your relationship with me will be better than any of those. He gave this woman purpose in life. Everywhere he went, whether it was a great crowd or an individual, Jesus brought hope wherever he traveled. We need to emulate that as Christ followers today. Jesus brought hope to the man that was demon-possessed, Gadara, where he cast out the demons. Remember, he cast out the demons and they fled into the pigs, and then the whole community was upset with Jesus because all these pigs died and stuff. As much as the community was upset, as much as the farmers were upset that they lost their pigs, Jesus left a man who was without hope. Talk about living in darkness. I don't know that any of us have truly been possessed by a demon, let alone demons. And the torment and the torture this man must have experienced. The darkness and the depth of the darkness that man must have experienced. And the hopelessness that that man had to experience. And here comes Jesus and removes those demons forever from that man's physical body and from his spiritual life forever. Offered forgiveness, offered mercy. Removed his guilt, removed his demons, and filled him with hope. The rest of the world looked at that man as hopeless, crazy, a maniac, probably deserved what he got. Boy, it's very easy for us to judge people that way. We're all guilty of it. Thank goodness Jesus didn't pass one of us by and say, "You're not worth it. You're hopeless." Every person that Jesus encounters, and you have all encountered Jesus or you would not be sitting in these pews today. Every person Jesus encounters, he offers hope. He offers a changed life through that hope. He brought hope to Mary and Martha when he raised Lazarus from the dead. There was a plan there. We like to think that Jesus was late. People even there said, "Oh, if only you had been here earlier, Jesus, you could have done something. You're late." Don't forget what Scripture says about Christ. He always does things at just the right time. At just the right time in history, God sent Jesus. And at just the right time, he sent Jesus to raise Lazarus from the dead. And in that event, not because he just gave their brother back to them. To me, I think Lazarus got the raw deal there. He was dead, was experiencing paradise probably, and he got sucked right back into earth. That would stink. But God had a plan there. He had a plan for Lazarus. He had a plan for Mary and Martha. And Jesus left those people with hope. If Jesus can raise a man from the dead, what can't he do? What can't he do in your life? What changes can he not make in your life? What sin can he not forgive in your heart? And why can he not hold your life for eternity in his hands forever if he chooses to? That is the hope that Jesus gave these people. And many of them left amazed, full of wonder. And many followed him after that. Many rejected him. Everywhere you go, you're going to see people reject Jesus. Satan's very good at what he does. He's very good at closing people's eyes and hiding truth. But for those who left in amazement and wonder, Jesus left hope. Are people so amazed at what Jesus is doing in your life that when they encounter you, they see Jesus and they are left with hope? Number three, Jesus is our, not only for a world that is living in darkness, but Jesus is our blessed hope. Don't forget that this Christmas season. As much as we are responsible for ministering to people and sharing the gospel with people, you have a hope in Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus is going to come again. That's what keeps us singing his praises. That's what keeps us doing ministry. That's what keeps us doing what we're doing, loving people. And let me tell you, we live in days where it's hard to love some people. People are not afraid to share their opinions. People aren't afraid to shun people. They're not afraid to tell you that you're wrong. And it's easy to get angry and just give up and say, you know, it's not worth it. Nah. Our hope is not in people. Our hope is not in governments. Our hope is not even in churches. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. And that's the message of Christmas. When the angel said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people." That is the hope that we hold on to today. That not only did Jesus come to seek and to save and remove our sin on the cross when he did that, we have this hope and this promise that he's going to come back and he's going to take us home. Whether we're still walking the face of the earth or we're buried 6 feet under the ground, he will come back and he will take you home for all eternity. He is our blessed hope. Last, and probably the most important message we need to hear this whole Christmas season, hope is a very temporary need for the soul. We need hope right now, but let me tell you, it is very temporary. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. Let me read that for you. You've heard it many times. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Jesus says, erase everything else in the world. Three things remain: faith, hope, and love. These are the three things I want you to hold on to. But the greatest of all three of those things is love. The reason love is greater than faith is because on heaven's shore, our faith journey will end and our faith will be sight at that point. We will no longer need faith when we are face to face with God forever. Just as faith is a temporary need of the soul, so it is with hope. On the day that we stand before Jesus Christ and we see Him face to face, we will have no need to hope any longer. We will then know Him. Even as He knows us today, we will know Him intimately. We will know Him like He knows you. We will stand before the hope of all mankind, and He will no longer be our hope. What will He be? He will be our intimate friend. He will be our brother. He will be our Lord and Savior for all eternity. The one who gave His life so that we might live eternally. That hope will be gone because we will have Him in the full. I pray that the title of my sermon this morning, if you paid attention to it, will be your rally cry this Christmas season. To everyone you come in contact with that seems to have lost hope, the world needs to know hope is coming. Hope is on the way. Psychologists tell us that the Christmas season can be one of the most stressful times of the year. I doubt we really need a psychologist to tell us that. More depression diagnoses are made in the holiday season than any other time of the year. If you or anybody you know is having a blue Christmas, just as the songwriter said once, Scripture tells us this morning, hope is on the way. Take that message to the single mother who cries herself to sleep at night, praying that God will take care of her, but more importantly, that He will take care of her children. Hope is on the way. Hope is coming. To the stressed out father who is trying so hard to provide for his family, we have a message to proclaim to him. Hope is on the way. To the lonely widow who celebrates each Christmas after saying goodbye to her husband on earth, hope is on the way. When the night seems too long and you awake to a very dreary day, don't lose hope. I promise you, hope is on the way. If you are fighting a battle of fear and it seems that God is silent, hold on. Hope is on the way. When your heart is broken in two and you're standing in the rubble of your life, God's word says very clearly in Psalms chapter 30, hold on, my child. Your weeping only lasts for a night, but joy is coming in the morning. Hope is on the way. That is the message of God from the very beginning. When He had to remove Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden because of sin separating God, that has been God's message from Genesis to Revelation. Hope is on the way. The question this morning is, will you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your hope this morning? And many of you have, if not all of you. Does the world know it? Does the world see it living and breathing in you? He is the only true object of hope. say it one more time. Hope is on the way. Have you made Jesus Christ your personal Savior? Hope is on the way. I said that on purpose many times this morning. I hope that rings in your ears for the rest of the day. I hope that rings in your ears all the way to Christmas morning, all the way into the new year. Whatever you are going through in life, whatever stage of life you are going through, Greg mentioned this morning, looking at our congregation, people are missing, people have been going through things, the Donners have experienced corona, Ernie Tinkey's experiencing corona, we've got people that have experienced job changes and losses and a lot of anxiety in relationships. It's just been a crazy, crazy year. And we listen to things, and we listen to the TV, and we listen to politicians, we listen to preachers, we listen to friends. You only need to hear one thing. Hope is on the way. Jesus Christ does everything at just the right time. And at just the right time, he will come back someday. And he will take home what belongs to him. So hang on to that truth, hang on to that hope, and may that be your Christmas message to the world around you this Christmas season. If you need to proclaim to the world that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, if you need to accept that for the very first time, we offer you to come forward this morning and make that proclamation and to give your life to Jesus Christ. For the rest of us, if it's at all possible for you physically, I would ask that we would stand this morning together as brothers and sisters. We're going to sing, He Lives. Not only did Jesus, was he born in Bethlehem, and that's what we're celebrating this month. Not only did he die on a cross to remove your sin, but because he lives, we all live forever. He is our hope. He is our promise. He is our joy. He is our peace. He is what makes us complete. Let's stand and let's commit ourselves to God this Christmas season. He lives.
I serve a risen Savior, he's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I hold the hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek Him, the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. Amen.
You may remain.